Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at WFHR. Sing it, Marvin. Got your host, James J. here, joined by Mel.
Good morning.
Seth.
Good morning.
Listeners.
Hello.
Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. We're here to have some fun for the next hour. We're going to take it right to the top of the hour with none but fun. We got great things lined up for you. In a little bit, we're going to get into an interesting topic here where we got what can't you wrap your head around no matter how many times it's explained to you? They've got some good ones in there, too.
Can't wait.
We'll get into that a little bit later. But right now, kicking things off, a couple of interesting notes here. One of the more, I would say one of the greater directors, but there's a lot of great directors out there. I would say one of the more visionary directors. One of the more directors, that everything I was saying about actors or anybody else in their career that pushes themselves more and more, where they could just sit back on their laurels. Christopher Nolan has done this his whole career. He could easily be doing, you know, superhero movies or certain things, and not to say there's anything wrong with that, but he doesn't take days off, this guy. When he has a new movie released, you can guarantee that if he's not at the release party, it's because he's working on another film. Right. He's just constantly working, constantly trying to push himself. And there's that, and then there's his next project. And it's a good thing Tom Holland's a part of this one, and that Deadline already posted it, because Tom Holland might have ruined this and everything already. But I like Tom. I like Tom Holland. Yeah, I like Tom
spoiler
Holland.
Man,
I'm just
joking.
Christopher Nolan's new film for Universal is The Odyssey, an adaptation of the epic poem composed by Homer around the 8th century BCE, the studio has revealed.
Wow. Yeah, he's going to the source.
Yeah.
Literally, like most of Western literature starts with the Odyssey and the Iliad.
The ancient Greek poem is one of the foundational texts of Western literature. Mm-hmm. It tells the story of Odysseus. Yeah. A story that you don't need me to explain. I imagine most people know it by now. This is going to be brought to IMAX. It is going to be a IMAX-made film, so it is one of those films that you're going to want to see in theaters.
Wow.
Everything that he is saying and talking about, it's looking like this is going to be, nobody's seen a telling like this of it, a more detailed telling of Homer's Odyssey than this.
Wow.
Odysseus is
That is an epic poem, so it's going to obviously be an epic film by definition. But man, if he's talking about details, how long is this thing going to be? They're going to have to break it into two parts, I think, because there's a lot of details in that poem. Yes.
And knowing him, it's probably going to be two films because you can't
do it in one.
Yeah.
You can't.
This isn't the first time this has been done. Going back to 1954, the Italian film directed by the great Mario Camerini, starring Kirk Douglas. You can go back to the 97 miniseries directed with Amanda Sante in it.
Which was very good, by the way. That was a good program,
Currently, Ralph Fiennes and Juliette Binoche are playing Odysseus and Penelope in the play The Return.
Oh, cool.
So this isn't the first, certainly, time this is going on. Mm-mm. And you can go back to even different tellings of the Odyssey with Cold Mountain from some years ago, both the novel and the film. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Jude Law, Nicole Kidman, I believe. Oh, no, Renee Zellweger. I watched Cold Mountain, and I was watching it, to be honest with you, because my girlfriend at the time wanted to see it. I was blown away. Really good movie. Really good movie.
Yeah.
And, of course, the Coen brothers, Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou?
Yes.
And I have to
mention, loosely based on the Odyssey, but yes.
And so I don't get in trouble with Seth and Laura, Star Trek Odyssey. As previously announced, Nolan's latest film will star just a couple of people. Tom Holland is in this one, Matt Damon, Anne Hathaway, Zendaya, Robert Pattinson, Lupe Nyong'o, Charlize Theron.
Jeez, everybody. Why don't they just put everybody in it, you know?
Yeah.
Well, they're going to need a very big cast, too. So.
and the story settled on by the filmmaker is far afield from the rumors of the subject matter. They are going to be sticking to the original play, it looks like.
Wow.
It's expected to start shooting early next year, making Nolan's second film for Universal on the heels of Best Picture, of course, of Oppenheimer from some years ago, from 2 years ago.
Man, this is something to anticipate. I know it's going to take him years to make this thing, but oh, wow. I mean, I love the idea. So Christopher Nolan, like you were saying, James, has never lacked for ambition. I mean, like the first films he made when he was just a first filmmaker were difficult films. You know, Memento, that's a tough film to follow because of the time jumps and everything like that. But he stuck to his guns, and he's always done that, and he's created some really remarkable things. So
I think anybody can make a movie like Joker and those movies. I'm sorry, but it's Todd Phillips is an amazing director, and I'd work with him in a heartbeat. But to make a movie that doesn't have any point. You know, that's I Am the Walrus or something that is just a bunch of jargon and everything. Mm-hmm. And that's, again, the Beatles, some of the greatest songwriters of all time. Mm-hmm. But even they did silliness sometimes
they did
things to try to confuse their listeners or critics and stuff.
Yep.
I think for every director that tries too hard, that M. Night Shyamalan in his prime there, where he's trying to make everything a twist in some of these things, there are the people you don't have. It's effortless because this is just who they are. Salvador Dali didn't try to be different. He just was. Christopher Nolan is just made different, man. Mm-hmm. And so is Les Paul.
yes, he was. He was something else.
And a great article in WPR, encourage you to check out. Jonah Belkis does good reporting over there. Great article. I want you to read this one. Just going to give you the cliff notes of it and everything. Foundation for Music Legend, Wisconsin native Les Paul wants to make music more accessible, and they are working at this one.
Good.
Long before Les Paul won Grammy Awards and entered the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, he was growing up in Waukesha and taking piano lessons.
Oh, really? Well, you got to start somewhere.
One day, his teacher sent him home with a note pinned to his shirt. I never got to experience that, but I kind of feel like that would have happened to me a lot growing up. Paul believed he was a great piano student. He could play anything. He was sure the note was so his teacher couldn't let his mom know how well he was doing. So his mom let her know how well. But the note conveyed a different message, and Sue Becker, program director for Les Paul Foundation, noted. He got home, quote, he got home and his mother unpinned the note from his shirt, and it read immediately, and she immediately tore it up. She said, "Don't listen to your teacher. She thinks you can't play piano."
Oh, no. Oh, no. Ooh. Oh, wow.
And her mom leaned down and looked at Les and said, "You're going to be great."
Oh, good mom.
The prediction from Paul's mother proved correct.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
She discouraged him from playing an instrument like the trombone because he needed an instrument that let him talk to the audience. So he landed on guitars.
Guitar, yes.
Mm-hmm. And of course, everything and the rest is history.
Oh, man.
Paul is the only person to be both the National Inventors in the National Inventors Hall of Fame and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Which is amazing.
Let that just sit there for a second. Yeah, yeah. That's incredible.
He was one of those guys, he didn't get the sound he wanted, so he made a device. He built
that would
a machine.
The sound.
Yes, exactly. That's how he was the first recording musician to use overdubs. He was he invented a good, you know, the solid body guitar, which is a staple. Of a solid body electric guitar, I should say, which is a staple of rock and roll. I mean, you know, there's a guitar called the Les Paul, which is
the Gibson Les Paul.
Yep, which is considered one of the great electric guitars, you know, that you can get. So, I mean, his accomplishments were astounding.
I also think it's worth noting that he had a note pinned to him. He didn't read it.
Yeah.
Like he could have just unpinned the note and read it and then pinned it back on. It's not like.
But he wasn't going to do that.
It was the first thought I had. It was the first.
That's what James would have done.
I like to think I wouldn't have, but I don't know. Me, as a young kid, I probably would have.
I mean, maybe it was in a sealed envelope and you would have had to steam it open shut again, and that would have taken time, but it's doable.
I didn't even think of that. I think that's a wonderful note on this story, Melissa. Thank you for sharing that.
Good for you, Les
really
Paul.
Cool note. That's actually really cool on that. Baker said that the point is the quickest way for someone to understand Les Paul's life and career. Mm-hmm. If you just understand he's in the Inventors Hall of Fame and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. And it also is a big note on where we're going with this, because Baker joined the Larry Meyer Show to share stories about Paul's life and explain the continuing work of the foundation that he has started, which includes raising funds for hearing loss research and offering grants to nonprofit groups.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. I didn't know they did that.
Making sure kids that are discouraged or come from poor areas are getting instruments and are learning how to read music, how to understand music. And none of the foundation is about, hey, you're good at this, hey, you're bad at this.
No.
It's all about knowledge. And they're working to do even more in the next couple of years and everything. Again, the article is wonderful. Go to WPR.org. Check that out. It's a very cool article, everybody.
Man, yeah. He was an original one-of-a-kind, and man, he lived forever.
Yeah.
He was like 102, I think, when he passed away. Yeah. Something like that. Amazing.
I do want to, as long as we're talking about great reporting and everything, and we just had it released yesterday, I want to remind everybody that WFHR newsletter has got some amazing reporting going on.
It does.
Be sure to check that out.
Good stuff.
It premieres every Thursday at noon. It shows up. You don't have to go and sign up for a, you know, have it delivered to you or anything like that.
Yeah.
It's delivered right to your email box.
Right there.
That's right.
Your email
just
box.
Just go to WFHR.com and enter your email address. And, you know, this we don't sell anything, you know. It's all free. And it will come right to your email inbox. It's very easy to unsubscribe if you don't like it. Just putting that out there. And then you can also give us feedback on what you'd like to see in the newsletter or hear from us on the radio. Right there on the sign-up sheet.
Absolutely.
Big shout-out to this team and everybody who worked so hard on that newsletter to get that out there and everything, everybody. And a big thank you to our community who's really embraced this.
This is great.
I have heard a lot of great feedback on this one.
It's filling a need. It is filling a need that we do not have in this community right now, unfortunately.
Well, and that it's unfortunately true across a lot of Wisconsin newspapers going under because of lack of funding and the lack of investment as well. So it's good that we're able to do this. And by you signing up and clicking on things in the newsletter helps us keep it going.
That's true. That's right.
Taking a look at new movies in the theaters, some of these movies have been out for a week or two, and some of them just coming out. Sonic the Hedgehog 3 is in theaters. That is doing extremely well. There is also the movie Mufasa, The Lion King, rated PG. It does look like that is probably... We're going to talk box office numbers on Monday a little bit more, but it does look like, while that started out slow, that's doing better now, and it may be the overall Christmas, the king of the Christmas box office and everything. It's been more steady than the others, which is fascinating to me because
that is interesting.
I'm not saying this as a comment on these things or anything. I'm saying that as an honest reaction to this. I have not met one person that has seen the live action films of any of these. Not just The Lion King, like any of them. I don't know anybody who's seen
I don't think I have.
The Little Mermaid, any of these things that they're doing. I'm wondering, is Disney pulling a hustle on us? They just made the trailers. They didn't really make these movies. And they're just showing up in theaters and it's just an insurance scam or something because I don't know anybody who has seen them. Yet they do well. They've done fairly, like the worst one, like still made its money back. None of them are bombs.
Right. And it's true. And I have to remember now, I have seen one. I just realized that, which means that's how memorable it was. I saw the live action Aladdin.
Oh,
with Will Smith as the genie and all that stuff. It wasn't bad, but it's not like going to make me forget like the animated version.
Well, I mean, none of them are going to do that,
not
regardless
at all.
Of how good they are. But I was also going to say that I know my brother and his kids have seen Aladdin because he purchased it. In our family YouTube account, which is there. And I was going to watch it the other night, but I watched something else. Oh, I watched Violent Night instead.
Melissa,
research just, for our thing.
You just teed me up perfectly. Christmas night, I was not surprising to anybody. It was late, and everybody was tucked in, took Sam out, and everything. I wanted something on in the background, and I thought about our director's cut, talking about it and everything. and I'm a big fan of David Harbour. Big fan of his and everything. So I pulled up Violent Night. I pulled it up and I watched it.
Nice.
I don't know if I've had a recommendation for Melissa or not, but a couple actually. I've had a couple for Melissa.
Yes, you have. I think so.
Great movie. I love it. I did not know John Leguizamo's in it.
Yes.
That's one of my guys. I'll see everything he does. That's one of my main men.
That's cool.
Him a lot. That was awesome.
He did a good bad guy movie.
He's such a good bad guy.
He's very good at it.
He's a hateable bad guy.
He's usually a little tongue-in-cheek with it, and he was with this, too. The movie is tongue-in-cheek, and if you go into it just for fun and you're an adult...
realizing it's violent.
Yeah.
Well, it's in the title, I mean.
but that doesn't always tell.
I got to say, just as a quick side note, I really love... love some of the history of Santa they included in it.
Yes.
And David Harbour is a really good Santa. Like, he's a great Santa. A really good performance.
According to Melissa, he's a very good Santa.
I said he was hot. What's wrong with that?
Nothing. I just I found it amusing. That's all.
Hot in a way that Kurt Russell is not.
You have to listen to the director's cut to get to understand what
we're talking about. To get the full context.
Check out the latest episode of the director's cut, everybody. Nosferatu is in theaters as well. If you're looking for more of a horror end of things, this is the apparently like a throwback to the original film,
the silent original film, from 1922. I want to see it just because of that. I want to see how they incorporated, you know, from that, because it's sort of based on Dracula, but it's not. There's a lot of differences. So
The Fire Inside is out. That's based on boxer Chelsea Clarissa Shields. She trained for the 2012 Summer Olympics. Brian Tyree Henry is in this as her coach. I love him. He's great. And the young lady Ryan Destiny looks like she does a really good job in it too.
Cool.
It's a boxing movie. I have to see it.
Didn't know that.
A Complete Unknown starring Timothy Chalamet as Bob Dylan. We talked about this earlier. Elle Fanning, Ed Norton, Boyd Holbrook are all in it. And incredible performances all around. Ed Norton's already getting getting nominations. I think going to get nominations.
And Ed Norton sighting. Man, he doesn't do much anymore.
But it's an incredible performance. And in limited release right now, Better Man, which is the life story of British pop star Robbie Williams, but with him shown as a chimpanzee from like Planet of the Apes sort of thing. He did this in part because he says, quote, "I always felt less evolved back then." And the I don't know if I'll see it, I'll be honest. Mm-hmm. But the trailer and everything, like, I don't get to do this very often. I'm complimenting them. Like, well done. Hmm, cool. Taking a bio and doing something different with it.
Very different.
Everything is parody in entertainment. And the movie industry may be the worst at it. And, oh, this is really big? Oh, and then a year later, they're doing it. Where it, of course, is, you know, a lost touch or whatever. Yeah. And biopics are a real big thing right now and have been for a while. But to do it differently... Like, British pop star has a rise to fame, then a fall, blah, blah, blah. We know that story like it's on the back of our hand.
Right.
They're trying to tell it differently. Mm-hmm. And there is an accountability of that Robbie Williams is trying to have with this, I think.
Yeah.
That I appreciate. One of the things that gets missed on these biographies all the time is the true, they think that they're being really hard and honest and giving a real hard look at themselves. And no, they had messy hair one day. Like, you know, it's like, okay, that isn't really giving us, you know, the true story. What you want to see in these things is, okay, I know your hits. I know your successes. We want to see your struggles in those things. We want to see what makes you human. That's what we want more and more.
Right.
No different than what I say about James Bond taking a punch. Audiences want it from their stars as well. Mm-hmm. It looks like there's a lot of accountability, a lot of that in this.
Which is just interesting. And then the way they chose to do it. Yeah, it's I don't know if I'm interested in like you said, the movie, but I like the idea of taking a chance and maybe showing a path forward for doing these in a little bit different way, right?
Yeah.
It is a movie. You don't have to, you know, do a straight up. If you want a biography, you write a biography, right? These movies you can actually do a stuff
documentary
with.
On the person or something like that. I think that also it just shows the evolution of CGI and all these things, because it is incredible. The facial expressions and everything that the actor, I can't think of the name of the actor that plays Robbie, but or maybe it is, it's just incredible. Cool. The facial expressions and everything. I never saw the Planet of the Apes movies. It's not my thing, but I've seen the trailers. I've seen enough scenes from it and everything. Those are really well done. I've never seen anything like that, like what they're doing in this movie with the facial expressions, the movements and everything. He truly does look like a human being as a monkey. Like, it's really well
interesting.
That stuff is interesting.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
I again, being honest with everybody, I don't know if I'm going to see it, but I love and I compliment and I applaud the attempt.
Try new things, man.
I hope I hope at the very least it makes its money back so that we can see more things like this, because Hollywood executives are waiting for this movie to bomb, and then they never have to do it again, you know, and that kind of thing. So we'll see. We'll see more as we come back. We got some great stuff lined up for you, everybody. We're going to ask you, what is something, in a little bit after our news break, what can't you wrap your head around, but no matter how many times people explain it to you?
Yeah.
That's coming up in a little bit on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show at WFHR.
I'm coming home, baby, now.
I'm coming home now right away. Wanted to throw this one in there. Throw it out. Mix it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Mix it up a little. Throw it in there. And I wanted to hear some Mel Torme. I'm going to be honest.
Not a bad thing. We'll have new bumpers on Monday. Yeah. So we'll get back to the regular things.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah. I like the Christmas ones quite a bit.
I do too. But yeah, I think it's time to change.
Part of what we love about them is that we only get them for a couple of weeks of the year. We have some fun with them. Our story to take you into our news break is important journalism that we have to cover. And it involves breaking records, of course.
Of course.
We are the home of Dolly Parton news, breaking record news, and of course Central Wisconsin news. Most specifically, most importantly, Central Wisconsin news. Yes. But you know, we cover some other things too. Speed eater Leah Skotever took home a new Guinness World Record title when she consumed 49 grams of green cotton candy in 60 seconds. Quote from her, why is it green?
It's a good question.
The plate was put in front of her, and she's like, why is it green? And it was quite grinchy, they said.
That is hilarious. Oh, my goodness.
Adjudicator David Wilson said that they were trying to kind of get into the season of things. Shakur would have to eat at least 45 grams of the Grinch-colored treat to beat the world record. Quote, I have sticky fingers and a very, very sticky face, but she broke the record.
Wow.
She goes, but you know what? It was worth it. It was absolutely delicious.
Oh, my gosh.
The competitive eater, I say that in quotes, has also set records for consuming 19 chicken nuggets and 10 jelly donuts in 1 minute and 3 minutes, respectively. So she did the chicken nugget thing in 1 minute and the 10 jelly donuts in 3 minutes.
29 in 1 minute? Mm. Wow.
That's
a lot of chicken nuggets, man.
So I feel like I missed my calling, you guys. growing up, my Nana and Papa would make fun of me all the time and call me a vacuum because I just inhaled my food.
Mm-hmm.
I should have been doing this. Just
a little taste on the way down and you're done.
I don't know what would be the most delicious food or the most fun food to do. I'm not even saying break the record. I'm just trying.
Just give it a shot?
Like, I've made it very clear how I feel about donuts on the air here and everything. I love the idea of, everybody, I'm retiring from radio. I'm going to be dedicating my life to be able to break the world record for most donuts eaten in a minute. Like, and you know what? As long as I can pay my bills, like, what's the downside?
I have a downside
for
you.
Yeah.
You may end up hating donuts.
Yeah.
That's true.
Because, see, that's the thing. I wouldn't want to eat something that I like in an eating competition. And about the only thing we've ever talked about that would even remotely interest me in trying would be cotton candy.
Oh, okay. Really? Interesting. Okay,
because it melts in your mouth.
That's true.
Oh, that's true. That's a
good point.
You know? And I've seen somebody like take and shove cotton candy in their mouth really fast. It's actually kind of funny to watch.
Yeah.
Entertainment value.
It's an interesting point, Melissa. I think that you know, you want to do this and you're going to be training at this, so you want to like what you're eating a bit, but you probably don't want to like it too much and to the point of not getting tired of it as well. Mm-hmm. So for me personally, cotton candy might be a good middle ground there, because I don't hate cotton candy, but I don't go out of my way to eat it.
Well, no, like once a year at the fair, that's great.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Good enough.
So I could see that being a good one right there. Right. I think that's a good one. I personally feel that way. Like, I like Skittles, but I don't eat them that often.
Okay. Oh my goodness, that would be a horrible, horrible thing to eat in a contest.
Yeah. Does
okay? This is
you
something...
just have to swallow them.
Oh yeah. Oh god.
You wouldn't be able to chew them.
Yeah, that doesn't end.
Oh, yeah, don't even. Yeah, that's that sounds yeah, horrible.
Yeah, that well, guys, you do realize that in eating contest, you don't chew.
I know. Right, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I want stuff that's hard to eat.
Oh yeah, here we
so,
go.
So, because
salad,
yeah, like chicken nuggets, that's
leg of lamb.
Just, take a bite, yeah, like speed eat this leg of lamb. Yeah. No, I mean like peanut butter.
Oh yeah,
oh boy,
that would be hard because it gets you know, gets in your mouth and sticky and stuff like
so good.
That. How about stuff that's a little bit harder? You know, maybe then I'd be a little bit more impressed. You know, donuts. I mean, yeah, chomp, you're done, right? Yeah, you know, that's it.
Or a lot of these guys do. People do, I should say, drinking water with it to get it down.
Or even dunk it in the water.
Which, as a side note, it might as well be cheating in my book. It's not an eating competition. They didn't do that with the pies back in the day or anything like that. Like, to me, I don't think that any one of these records should count with the eating if you're doing the whole dunking it in the water and everything. Like, that's something we do as kids. Like, That shouldn't count, man.
I'm telling you, it's something's rotten in the state of competitive eating. That's what I say.
Yes. Nicely done. We will take a quick time out, check in with our news and sports break. We'll check in with our partners. We'll come back and we're talking about that, those things that you hear about, but you cannot wrap your mind around, no matter how many times they're explained to you.
Yeah. Like eating contests.
Like eating contests, yes, yeah.
Nicely done. We'll be back with more show, morning show at WFHR. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Big shout out to the Wilson sisters, allowing us to use that as theme music for community stories in our elf call.
That's right. Yeah, that was really worked out really well. Yeah,
We appreciate you guys listening and joining us for that. And that was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. Get into this one right here. Now, there is a whole meme where people desperately ask others to explain things to them like they're five. and I don't know if this gets credit enough, but especially with his birthday coming up this weekend, I believe that stems from the movie Philadelphia, where Denzel Washington is telling Tom Hanks a couple of times, and he says it once to the jury, I believe, okay, explain it to me like I'm a seven-year-old or something like that.
Right.
So that has been going on around. And people are talking about the main subjects like this. I bring up often when we have Midday Magazine guests on that are able to do this, but big names as far as like Bill Nye or Neil deGrasse Tyson, people who can explain a black hole and even I can understand it.
Yeah.
And things like that. And then there are things that those people will explain and even still I don't understand it. So this is a list of that. Things that no matter how many times they're explained to us, we cannot wrap our minds around.
Okay.
I don't see it on the list here, so I'm going to go ahead and bring up how we keep losing that one sock. You guys, growing up poor, you don't lose socks. You can't. So for me, growing up, my mom taught us, okay, every time you take your socks off and you can throw them in the laundry or whatever, you put them together.
You put them together.
Still lose socks. Still.
That's going to happen, man.
Don't get it. I don't know what happens between the washer and the dryer. I want to know. We have other things on the list. It doesn't look like these are in any particular order, but I'm going to start from at the bottom. And for some reason, there's 18. Like, I don't know why.
That's random. Okay. All right.
But we go at 18 is folding a fitted sheet.
Okay. There's some,
it's doable.
I know it's doable. I have seen my wife do it. I still can't do it. Okay. I can't just.
But there are levels of being able to fold the fitted sheet, too. I have seen people who can get it as flat as a flat sheet once it's folded, which is super impressive. I can't do that, but I can at least get it folded.
Both my grandfather and my papa were incredible at this. Coming from the military,
they learned from the best how to do that.
Which way is east, north, south, and west?
Oh God.
No, you got no help. You just are standing there in the middle of the woods. Figure it out.
I'm awful.
Well, it's harder in the middle of the woods. But it's doable. You just have to look for the moss.
That's the one thing I learned about it. You know, maybe the direction of the sun. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, that can be helpful. If you can see the sun, of course.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. It depends on how the canopy is. But I mentioned it before. I am directionally challenged. and this is part of it. I never know which direction is which. Nope.
Blowing a bubble with gum.
Oh, really? Yeah. Yeah. That's hard to explain.
I learned that pretty young.
Yep.
And then also how to snap your gum.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which can be super annoying.
Oh, my God. My dad would he didn't really kill people, but he would threaten to kill people who snapped their gum. He hated it so much. Yeah.
There was somebody while I was in a waiting room at an airport who was just snapping their gum incessantly. And I really, if I had an option to go sit somewhere else, I would have done that.
Too bad.
I think an honorable mention would be whistling as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's another one.
Especially that can bad be a difficult whistling. One to learn. The harder thing to learn is that loud whistle where you put your fingers in your mouth.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you can whistle really loud. Yeah. I haven't figured that one out.
Cannot do that one.
Yeah, that one I've never figured out.
No.
MRIs. Yeah. Yeah. I can see that. How a chicken can make a whole egg every day.
A whole bunch? Yeah, a whole bunch of eggs. Yeah. That's interesting. How do they do that? Yeah.
Those are both interesting.
Do I want that explained to me, though?
Yeah.
Maybe I don't. Yeah. I want the magic to stay, I think. I don't want to learn about that.
Sometimes you also want to keep eating eggs.
Yeah, I do, because I really like eggs.
Not everybody wants to know how the sausage is made.
That's right.
Had to. The metaverse.
Oh
yeah, yeah. Yeah, no. That's no, a, thank you. No,
if
thank
you want to learn how to fail at something, yeah.
There's a difference between not being able to understand something and not caring
at all. Not caring at all.
A big difference there. Yeah. Both clouds and the cloud.
I like how they put that together.
The first time I got to fly in an airplane and see a cloud from the inside, it was not at all what I expected, but it was cool.
Really? Oh, interesting. Yeah. Hmm.
Being on top of a mountain and having a cloud go through you and feeling it.
Or even below you.
Yeah.
Seeing it below you.
That is cool to see.
Yeah.
I've tried, since it happened, to explain to people what I felt and what it was like, and I still got no words. I have no idea how to do it.
Mountaintop experience. A literal mountaintop experience.
Yeah, literal.
And the actual cloud itself, it holds things.
It's moisture, you know.
The
real clouds.
The electronic cloud that they're talking about nowadays, that, you know, it's in the cloud. And, I just put it in the cloud or whatever. Like,
why is it called a cloud?
Yeah, and I don't know.
Because it floats? I don't get that. Why is it? I don't understand.
Well, the one thing, clouds don't really do hold things.
Like, they actually get rid of stuff.
Yeah, that's not really what they do.
And the fact that it takes up so much resources is also a disturbing thing that I don't really want to know more about, but I need to know more about.
Yep.
Especially with AI.
Yeah. I think these next two are really fascinating, and they're both they're tied together, although their inventions came very, very decades apart. How a cell phone works and how a basic wax album and record player works.
Ooh.
Both
wax
fascinating.
Album?
Yeah, like, well, you know, record.
Vinyl.
Vinyl. Okay.
Shorthand was called, it was still called wax, even though it was made out of vinyl for many years.
Yeah.
Because originally, of course, it was made out of wax. But anyway, I digress.
It doesn't work in the Southern Hemisphere.
Here's the thing I love. One of my favorite things about cell phones. When people say, you know, oh, the satellite's out of the thing. Cell phones don't use satellites.
Yeah.
That's why we have towers.
Unless it's a satellite phone.
Exactly, unless it's specifically a satellite phone. But regular, the ones most everyone uses, it's the towers. That's why we have towers. It's cable. It's fiber optic cable.
It's a great point. These are supercomputers. They're amazing. Mm-hmm. The technology and everything, it's way advanced. I don't think it's I think this is almost common knowledge. We are decades behind where our technology is. As human beings, where our brains are and where we are evolutionary wise, we are at the very least a decade behind technology. Technology just moves too fast, and we're innovators, we're creators. We're not just going to sit back and be like, okay, we're good now. We're going to keep working and trying to things. That's the human spirit. That's who we are. But we are. There is no way that we are caught up to technology, both whether it's in our brains or it's with our laws or anything else.
Definitely not our laws.
To me, it's just fascinating. The cell phone's interesting and all. I'm still trying to wrap my brain around how they put sound on a vinyl record.
And you put a needle on it and then sound comes out, right?
Yeah, there you got Beethoven. we haven't even caught up to that. That's not even common knowledge, let alone how a cell phone works. Like, we can't.
Okay.
Your average person doesn't even know how vinyl works.
What we're doing right
including
now.
Including me.
What we're doing right now. Okay.
Yes, radio waves.
Radio waves.
Fascinating.
How bizarre is that?
Yes.
That sound can travel out through waves like this over super long distances. I mean, which you can't see.
It's fascinating. It's all super cool. The unfortunate thing, and what that you mentioned there, James, is that our laws are so far behind because we're being exploited.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
absolutely.
Straight up.
Yep.
Straight up. All of those things on your phone, all of those apps that are collecting your data, we don't even know the ways that we're being exploited yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this is how far
it's
behind.
It's terrifying. Mm-hmm. It's terrifying.
That's an incredibly strong point, but it's not even where I was thinking of. I was thinking of where we are with so much of the sex crimes and different things that are happening on the internet and some of those things and how our laws are not. To just show an example of how behind we are, both Melissa and I were thinking of two different things that are both equally important. Like, that's just how big this subject is and how many layers there are.
Thing is, it's going to be on the next generations to tackle those problems, and they already are.
Yeah.
Here's a fun little tidbit that I don't think most people know. You know what the last privacy law that was passed by Congress was? So that video store clerks could not reveal which tapes you rented.
Wow.
That was the last one that was passed by Congress.
Wow.
Jeez. Yeah.
Well, to be fair, Congress works really hard. Oh, wait a minute. No. The transformation from caterpillars to butterflies. Yeah, how you doing? What's going on?
Wow, how
what's
does it
going
become,
on in there?
And the fact that they look so different from each other. That's the thing. Yeah.
Guys, they turn into soup.
Yeah.
Primordial soup, apparently.
It is actually really fascinating, but it's also the greatest hustle ever in the insect kingdom. They have a caterpillar goes in there and then he slides out his back door, and then the butterfly slides in. This is how it's done.
This is magic
101.
I love it. It's an illusion. It's not true.
It's an illusion.
Everything you know isn't true.
I'm telling you. I know a hustle when I see one. I know. let's see here. Crypto mining, stock market. And that stuff that I don't even think a lot of people in the stock market completely understand how that works.
They don't understand it at all.
Mm-hmm. No, and the unfortunate thing is they use it against people who don't understand it, which is most of us. And
speaking of hustles,
to affect our spending or our the way that we manage our money, and the stock market has very little effect on us.
And the economy in general, it doesn't. No.
The top three, I think, are really interesting and nod your head kind of ones. At number three, electricity. Yeah, just electricity.
The idea of electricity is just so it's still a fascinating thing. Yeah,
it is.
At number two and number one, I actually thought these would be kind of flipped around. At number two, magnets.
They're like magic.
Yeah, I don't know many people at all that could explain to you how that works or why it works.
I'm telling you, man, magnets are one of the coolest things ever.
And if you're most people, when they're telling you how a magnet works, it's just the basic like dictionary definition that was told to them. Like they don't really understand it. They're
don't
just
believe
repeating
you.
What they've heard.
It's magic. It's magic.
Yeah.
There are people obviously who understand other magnets. Yeah, I know a few of them.
There are a lot of people.
But to have them explain
are,
it to you in a way you can understand,
forget
that,
it.
That would be really tough.
Yeah. I think that's the interesting thing about this list is it's not stuff that there are things that are understood by people out there, all that. It's the idea of people being able to understand it, being able to be taught it or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
And number one, space. Space. And this is something that I actually heard in the wheelchair and
Stephen Hawking.
So sorry. Yeah. Thank you guys. One of the I think one of my favorite people that ever existed and one of my favorite people to read about. I just loved his brain and the way he was just completely him. A very interesting human being. He would be the first to tell you even he couldn't explain space. Mm-mm. Even he couldn't completely get you to understand and wrap your brain around it. The human brain, everything I was saying about technology, space was ahead of this a long time ago. it's a lot to ask the human brain to completely understand not just space, but just get them to understand the universe. Okay, and did you know that the universe is so big that there are galaxies inside the universe, and inside those galaxies are planets,
solar systems,
and
then
planets,
the planets, and
we're one galaxy of how many?
Yeah,
billions.
Billions.
We don't even know.
Well, and that's the thing that because of our size, our finitude. There's a word for you. Mm-hmm. The fact that we can only our bodies are limited, and our senses are limited. Being able to comprehend something as large as that is just not possible. Mm-hmm. We just cannot do it because of the scale.
I think the ocean is something that should have been brought up on this list too.
Again, another thing, because it's just the size. You can't comprehend.
Yeah.
And I saved this one. This article actually came out back in August. And I've been saving this one to do at the end of the year for a reason.
Okay.
Because I can't do anything without a point, of course. this time of year, you're going to be seeing a lot of year-end wrap-ups. You're going to be seeing a lot of year-in-review stuff and everything. And I think that that's cool. I like those things. I'll read them, and we'll probably do a story on them and that. But we skate past, and we normalize so much in life because time is moving so fast, and everything is moving ahead of us and it's hard to keep up with anything. I think that one of the things that can give you a breather is actually going back and looking at things and how far we've come and just taking some pride in it, some enjoyment in it and everything. Mm-hmm. We're just wrapping up on space and how gigantic it is. And you hear oftentimes from people, oh, I feel so insignificant. I feel like such a small. I feel the exact opposite when I think of those things. Mm. I'm fortunate to be here. I'm conscious. Mm-hmm. I get to be something that understands that, that gets to be a part of that. Mm-hmm. We are a part of something that works, that we're all connected. So you being here is helping the rest of this work. Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool. It's a pretty fortunate thing to be able to be, to have that perspective, to be able to take in this stuff.
To have that awareness of your own existence, mm-hmm. right?
And I think that there is something gigantic that we all need to do as a society and to hold others to a standard of. The idea that I don't know everything, and that's okay. That's all right. That not everything is the greatest this and the greatest that and all that and everything. Like how lame that is and how pandering it is and how they're just trying to feed you goop. Like that. There's no human being in history that's like that. And that's okay. That's one of the fun things of life is the mystery of life. Mm-hmm. Not everything needs to be explained and not everything can be explained. And that's cool.
But the fact that there are people who know things and that we're interconnected and that we can rely on each other to help build up that knowledge and all of that, that is also a really cool thing.
It is. Mm-hmm. That's very cool.
Take a break. We'll come back, wrap up the week on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show at WFHR.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos.
Welcome back, everyone.
The way he says Eskimos.
Eskimos.
Like that.
So I love it. I love it. Just a real quick callback to the last segment. I thought you had a really good one there, Seth, about things that we can't wrap our minds around.
Oh, yeah. Literally consciousness. Yeah, human consciousness. The big mystery. In fact, there's no one that can do it because it's not something we've solved. And we may never solve. That's one of those mysteries that we may never figure out.
Yeah.
Which is all right, actually, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think there's something fun about that. We got some good stories of the day to wrap up the week, and then we'll get into our schedule. Just touching on our schedule real quick here, we have got a great lineup for you. Be sure to stick around for Matt and Air on Air. Going to be a good one lined up for you. Mm-hmm. Got some fun there. Got some great guests, you know, co-hosting our shows this week and everything. Great, big shout out to all of them on the work that they have been doing. Mm-hmm. And we'll have a good midday magazine lined up for you to wrap up the week. We will have in part one a replay of Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Matt Zacher joining us back on last Wednesday.
Okay.
Nice. We'll replay that. And at 4:30 today, Kayla Rombalski joins us, community development educator with UW-Madison. We've got a bunch of great big things coming up in our area, like Clean Sweep and Connecting Entrepreneur Community Conference, Science by the River, all these things coming up that we're going to help you mark on your calendar and let you know about.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
And just in a little bit here, actually, in a couple of hours, we'll have some great high school basketball on our sister station, WIRI, at 12:50. Lincoln High School boys basketball at Verse DeForest as Just a Game, the Wisconsin Dells event that they have going over there. Mike and Seth going to be covering that one for you.
That's going to be cool.
Yeah, good to have that coverage for you.
Yep.
We'll talk about it tonight on Playmakers from 5 to 6. Be sure to join Seth and I for wrapping up the week of shows. One of the things I want to get into is your favorite sports moments of the year. I want to hear that from everybody.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
we'll do that on our next couple of Playmakers episodes as we wrap up the year. Also going on Saturday on WIRI at noon, Assumption Boys Basketball taking on Bonduel.
Yep.
As part of the Century Classic in Stevens Point.
Mm-hmm. Wrap that one up.
Yep. Mike and Seth will have that one for you. And at 12:40 right here at WFHR, Wisconsin Women's Basketball versus Indiana.
Very good.
And after that at 4:30 right here, we'll have Wisconsin Men's Hockey versus Ferris State.
Okay.
Sunday at 4:30, Wisconsin Men's Hockey versus UConn, Alaska. That's going to be a good one.
Mm-hmm.
All good stuff for you. We'll talk more about this during Playmakers today, but I did want to remind everybody the Northwoods League schedule has been announced.
Yeah.
That is out there. Go ahead and check that out. What's your rafters, how they're starting the season, where the All-Star break is. We're going to cover that today on Playmakers.
All right. Very cool.
And Seth, we wanted to remind everybody that there will be no Winter's Farmers Market this week.
Yeah, that's right. So tomorrow, the winter market that's usually at the Moravian Church will be closed. And for the next, I think, two Saturdays it'll be closed. I think the 11th is when they'll be reopening that. So get ready for the market to reopen, and they'll be open through April. So make sure you stick around for that.
A Iowa-based grocery store chain, the Iowa-based store, Hy-Vee, announced it's getting rid of self-checkout machines at a bunch of locations. They said they're doing it to promote more face-to-face interaction and to give more jobs to people in the area.
Very cool.
Good.
That's good news. Yes.
That is good news.
It's becoming a trend. We're seeing it mainly with grocery stores. Walmart and some of those other bigger ones haven't done it yet, but most grocery stores, especially rural grocery stores, are doing this more and more.
You got to hope they continue, because when people roll up with two carts full of groceries and they got to check out themselves and try to bag everything, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
Well, and the jobs, you know, that. And congratulations to Bernard Snyder and Joe Cartwright, who just got married in Austin last week. It's in the news because they are both in their 90s. Joe is 96 and Bernard is 98.
Congratulations to them.
He says he got up the nerve to ask her on a date a while back, and then they started having dinner together at their retirement home. Both are widowed, and they say they never expected to get married again. They just happened to fall in love.
How sweet.
Very good.
That is pretty cool. That is a great story. And you guys are our good story. Thank you so much to the best listeners in radio for joining us in this fun holiday week. We encourage you to have a great one. Be safe out there. You too have a good weekend.
You too.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays, everybody.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.